The first order of business, we're going to ask Jimmy to come up and kind of give us a recap of the steering committee's work that they've done. And guys, we can't thank this group enough for what they have done. So come on up, Jimmy, and then we'll open it up for questions and answers.
The steering committee? Is that what we're...
Okay.
Screening. Did I say steering again?
Yes, you did, like three times.
Screening.
So we'll screening. Get to our next stuff.
I hope we don't go through this process for 10 more years.
Yeah. Then we've steered you well. That's good. Let me first start off by saying thank you on behalf of the committee. We were honored and humbled by what you asked us to do. We did not know each other that well. I honestly didn't know Phyllis and Margo very well, and it was great to serve with them. If you were here, unfortunately, you would hear a lot of laughing and a lot of crying because we laugh so hard sometimes. So we enjoyed ourselves. And if you're not serving with people in this church, I challenge you to. You'll hear this from me probably in a couple weeks, that you don't know people until you serve next to them. And it's been a blessing to serve next to these four people. So to start off with that. We didn't really know what we were going to do. We didn't know. We really weren't given that much guidance. Okay? If you can believe that. We didn't know how we were going to sort through it. And by the grace of God, we figured it out. And he led us. We ended up with 37 candidates who applied. We actually got one here in the last couple of weeks we haven't done anything with. So we've got 38 who applied. We screened them out in various ways. Some of them will tell you privately. Some of them were fairly easy. The ones that asked for money were fairly easy to screen out. Some of the others were not. And so we went through it. And we went through multiple stages. And we separated them at one point and had people go and do homework and come back and present what they thought about the individual candidates. We ended up with, and I'm trying to remember the numbers here. So we ended up meeting most of January and February. We filtered out most of the people during that stage. We did go through the maybe pool. We took people from the kind of the full pool. We took them to a maybe pool. The maybe pool, we all assigned to different groups, and we went through those. And at a minimum, two people went through and tried to find out what we could. We listened to sermons. We looked at social media. It's amazing, by the way, what you can find in social media on people. I'd highly suggest you monitor your own social media in the process. And then what we ended up with, in the end, we ended up with three candidates that we were prepared to present to the elders. Before we did that, we went back to those candidates and we asked them to reaffirm their interest. One person dropped out at that time. So the remaining two we debated were two enough. Because this is kind of the debate you're going to have to get to tonight, is one enough. Because we debated is two enough, but through the candidates, we went through the process and we had two that kind of God raised up to us. Since then, you've seen Matthew. And then the other person has dropped out. So that's kind of, I don't know if you want anything else from that, but that's kind of the process of how we got here. God kind of led us to this place, and I think our feedback that we're trying to look for, the elders are looking for from you, is, are we done? Is this the one? Or do we keep going as a group? Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, we did call and interview the candidates. That's where some of the laughing and crying came from. So I don't. Anything else you four want to say about our process? No? Yes. So one dropped out before we presented to the elders and candidates, and then one dropped out here that was supposed to, I don't know how you're going to record this thing. One dropped out that was supposed to come this Sunday.
Thank you, Jimmy. Well, what we are here to discuss, and it's on the minister search feedback form. you can make a comment or you can ask questions. It's on the minister search feedback form. It says, we're here to discuss if we believe Matthew Miller is the minister that God has called to serve with us for the coming years. Or the second option is we believe the search process for a new minister at Highland Hills should continue. So that is what we want comments and questions on. Who wants to be first? All right, Marcia.
Well, this is what I just think from what I've heard tonight, and that is we had 38. It's been a while. The committee has worked hard. People have prayed. And with those two that dropped out, not because we asked them to, but because they decided to, and then we're left with one that we've heard and met and know a little bit now, maybe God has spoken.
Thank you, Marcia. One person, I won't mention the name, said when they heard that Patrick Odom, they had heard Matthew, and they said about Patrick Odom, God just knocked him out of the ring. Gail?
This is to reiterate the same thing pretty much. I listened to Matthew and Patrick's sermons. I read their blogs, and both of them seem to be very mature in their faith. Matthew, unusually so for someone so young, I thought. But my prayer has been for both of them since we got it down to two was, Lord, you know what's best for your people here. And Lord, I know I'm not asking for much, but which I was asking for a lot. Please make it clear to us which one is the one beyond a shadow of a doubt. And the other one dropped out. So,
Trace?
Well, as going off of him being so mature for his age, he had that energy of his youth with the wisdom of someone much older and wiser. And he was just so, he was able to connect with everyone who I've talked to. So, he connected to me and reminded me a lot of the people who I met at Harding while I was there. A lot of young people with the passion, the wisdom, and the actual devotion to go through with it. And it really spoke to me and connected with a lot of people who I've talked to, especially the younger people, that he can get that deep and still connect. And that is a skill in itself.
Thank you, Trace. Who wants to be next? Oh, Janice.
I agree very much with what Marcia and Gail have said, because we've all prayed that God will show us the one. Unfortunately, I didn't get to meet Matthew and Lindsay or their children. But one thing that spoke to me was that I just found out yesterday. He came by the nurse, by NHC Saturday night to try to see Ward, and I'd already gone home for the night. It was around 9 o'clock, I think, or so. They were afraid to go in without my being there. But that touched me that they came by to see him. But they just didn't feel comfortable going in And it wouldn't have been a very good situation because he was not a happy camper for sure at that point. But because we'd just gotten there over the weekend then. But that just, again, that just said something about it. And I have talked with teachers at Moore County High School who knew him when he was a student. And I talked with one teacher at Moore County High School, and she said there's nothing bad about him. I mean, there's no background that we have to worry about with anything along that line, too. And she said he's a very spiritual person. She was a friend with him on Facebook, and she was very impressed with the things he would post on Facebook.
Thank you, Janice. His mother told me that from a little boy he wanted to be a minister, and he would take a Bible to school. And one day the teacher brought that to the principal's attention, and the principal called Jackie and said, your son, there's no place for a Bible in this school. And Jackie said, I won't be meeting my Lord but after telling my son he cannot carry a Bible to school. So that's that. And that was the end of the conversation. He still kept carrying his Bible to school, and nothing else was said.
Since Jason's not here tonight, as soon as we were talking about the ministers and coming, I said Matthew Miller, and he was so excited to see him. He coached him in football, said he was a great kid. His wife is actually cousins with my two brother-in-laws on their father's side. But our Wednesday night ladies' class, she just jumped right in like she had been here the whole entire time. She never felt uncomfortable. The kids seemed at ease. I mean, for me, I thought he was a good fit. He seems to be friendly to everybody. He doesn't meet a stranger. And, you know, you don't feel uncomfortable with him as a minister, which I think is very important. So those are our two cents.
Thank you, Josie.
A couple of things that I really liked both of them. I got to talk to Lindsay more than I did Matthew, but I think one of my favorite things that he said, I don't even remember what the question was, but he talked about how he has just an insatiable desire for God. And I thought, that is such a good, you know, person that could, you know, lead us or, you know, whatever. But I guess my general feeling for each one of those was they seemed like people that I would be excited to serve with.
Thanks, Jamie. Kim?
I went to school with Matthew's dad all my life. Very good guy. And then Matthew and my daughter went to school their whole lives. They graduated together. He did bring his Bible to school. He was always a very good kid, very sincere, always a very good friend, carried a very good name. Matter of fact, when Katie and Harold started their process of trying to find a baby to adopt, Katie got in contact with Matthew and spoke with him at length, and he prayed with them, and did he know of anyone that knew of a baby somewhere for that needed them, and he was very helpful, and kept his ears and eyes open, and contacted her on different occasions and had prayed for her. So I've kind of known him. He's always been a good kid, never got in trouble. He was just a super, super great kid growing up. And I have nothing but good things to say about him and his dad. And then come to find out, the Lindsay that he married, I went to school with her parents and have known them, their parents and their parents' parents, all of my life, grew up with them down in Moore County. She comes from a very, very good Christian family.
So Sunday was like homecoming for you.
And he recognized me like
20 years. Yes. Yes. Yes, Janice.
Since I was not able to be here Sunday for either of the sessions or last Wednesday night, in your discussions with him, did y'all talk about his belief and teachings on baptism? And what were they?
I think Denning asked that question Sunday afternoon. Yes, he believes that baptism is essential for salvation. And that was the question. This was really heartwarming to me. Somebody asked him, and it might have been Denning, what led you to the Church of Christ after asking him about baptism? And he pointed to Lindsay over there, and he said, Lindsay and I met each other. He was going to Tennessee Tech. She was going to Freed Hardeman. And they met, I don't know, at some conference, Christian conference. What? Who? Yes. Nathan and Julie Poe introduced them. But they had a long-distance relationship, and he was trying to search, and he said the main conflict between Lindsay and myself was this question of baptism. And he said she was the one that taught me that baptism, and he started researching it, and so Lindsay converted him. Anyone else? Marcia?
I thought that his genuineness as a person just shot right through, because if he said, if I don't know the answer, I'll tell you, I don't know, because I don't know everything. And so to say that's big, when people can say no, and you're supposed to have studied, and you're the one supposed to know, and when you say I don't know, but I'm going to find out, or I'm going to look farther. And so
thank you, Marcia. In our interview, my question was, what is the difference in a preacher and a minister? And he answered this way. He said, there's no command in the Bible. Now, we've got plenty of examples of ministers. We've got Paul. We've got Jesus. You know, we've got plenty of examples, but no specific a preacher must do this, 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 and this. And he says, I see myself as a preaching deacon. And a deacon is somebody that serves. So he said, I won't be listed as a deacon or a ministry leader, but that's how I see my role here, as preaching here on Sunday, but all the other time I'm a deacon. I'm serving the people here, and serving, he said, serving the people of Tullahoma. He said, I want to get out. I want to meet people. I want to tell them what great things are happening for the Lord. And he is an amazing person to me. He's amazing. Yes.
I was just wondering if the church he's coming from, or would be coming from, is about the same size as this church, or smaller or larger? About. So this is going to be a much bigger responsibility for him than he's used to.
I'm not sure about that, because the church he's coming from has no elders.
Back to Al. The church he's coming from had 50-some members, but they have no elders. So I think what I got from him in our questions and conversation, at times he had to be elder and deacon and preacher, and I mean he kind of had to do whatever had to be done. And Lindsay, I kind of got the impression she's kind of the same. She ended up doing a lot of, she did VBS, she taught classes. They worked together in the community. She taught fifth grade in the public school. But they've been very, very, very busy because there weren't that many people to help them. So I think responsibility-wise, he probably had to do a lot of different things. But in terms of a congregation, it was about half the size of Highland Hills. And Yadkinville is a mission of Friendly Avenue Church of Christ in Greensboro, North Carolina. Now, Maddie, my granddaughter, went to Friendly Avenue Baptist preschool. And every time we took her to preschool or picked her up, we went right by Friendly Avenue Church of Christ. So it is an outreach of Yadkinville is not totally responsible for his support. He gets support from the Friendly Avenue Church of Christ in Greensboro. Yes, Margot.
I can't remember if this was in his resume, but one thing that we talked to him about when we were talking to him on the phone is the church where they go, Yadkinville, they have opened it up as a health clinic to the community for 2 or 3 days a week. And through that, they've gotten to serve a whole lot of the community. So it's not just an abstract idea for him to be involved in the community. They are truly involved. It's a very rural area. It's a poor area. I think he said probably about 70% of the people are on food stamps. So they have served, and I think that's one reason why he speaks with a lot of wisdom at such a young age. They've had a baptism by fire because they've had to play so many roles in a church, in a community like that.
Yes. Lance? I'm getting my exercise tonight.
So along those same lines, one of the other things that he said to us in the interview as we were talking about his experience in personal ministry was that the very first day he showed up in Yadkinville, he was in the hospital holding the hand of someone who was dying. So talk about baptism with fire. And that was common, the demographic of that congregation. There was a lot of illness, a lot of need for them to be there, and not a lot of other people in the congregation who were doing that. So he is, that part of the work is very natural for him, and he's really looking forward to the opportunity to help, you know, help teach some other people and to lead some people in that.
Thanks, Lance.
I didn't get to spend as much time with him as I would have liked to, because I was busy with my shows, and I got to meet him briefly while the elders were taking a little bit of a break from interviewing him a bit, and I introduced myself and said I would not be able to see him that much because of the show I was in. He became instantly invested in, okay, what is it exactly that you're doing, and he became very interested instantly and involved, and we ended that discussion with him wishing that he could have gone that night to see the show. And just the genuine interest and involvement from just meeting me and hearing that I really wanted to see who he was, what he was about, and also the casual mentioning of several people that I was interested in ministry myself. It was more than enough to get him deeply involved and invested in what I was doing. And that spoke volumes.
Thanks, Trace. Denny. Y'all planned that, didn't you?
You know, our last minister search, I was kind of a little hesitant because the last time we did this, we went first guy and we hired him. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just was very hesitant with if we went down that same road again. Obviously, things were a little bit different this time, and that the other candidates decided to drop out. With Shane, we you know pretty much hired him right there on the spot that weekend. So I was very hesitant to And then I'll be honest, after Sunday morning, Now, granted, we've got a lot of stuff going on. I may not be fully engaged, but I had people ask me. I was like, "Yeah, it's okay." You know, he was okay. But when we came back that afternoon, I left very impressed with him, and I don't think there's any doubt in this world that he wants this job. I came away with that for sure, that he wants this job. So after his discussion on Sunday afternoon, I just was very impressed. He seemed much more relaxed. Obviously, I told Jake, I said he seemed nervous, and I would be shaking in my boots if I was up here preaching in front of a group that I'd never met before. And family and everybody here. So, like I said, I did come away impressed with his answers and everything that we asked him on Sunday afternoon.
Thanks, Denny. You are going to have to say something, yes. All right.
I will say, Denny, I mean, of course, Denny came by after church, and I said, well, how was it? And he said, oh, it was okay. It's like he said that. And so I've heard some other people say, well, they weren't so impressed with the sermon, but again, he was very comfortable, and I would be more nervous with a Q&A than I would have been with a prepared sermon. But Shane made a tremendous improvement in his preaching from the pulpit. I'm not sure how many were here when Shane first started. And so you may not remember, but he made a tremendous improvement. I know firsthand that the elders worked with him very closely, the elders that we had over those 11 years, to help him to improve. And I know that Matthew's young, and so he's got time to grow from the pulpit in terms of delivery, if that is a weakness in any way. And I just want us to remember that people do grow into their jobs like that and improve. I hope I was a better teacher after 30, 40 years than I was when I first started, at least.
There's an old saying, a teacher can have 40 years of experience or 39 years of their first year of teaching. So you got to grow.
Yes, you are.
I was joking with you. One thing that stood out for me in our interview was he used the words God's kingdom a lot. He's not just focused on serving this congregation, but having God's kingdom grow. And that's just impressive. And I don't know if you saw that in his Q&A when he talked about the millennials. The millennials are this group that just doesn't want to sit still. They want to go serve. They want to go be the church. And I just was impressed by his use of the word God's kingdom. And then another one he used a lot was the faith community, that we as churches of Christ can't just behave as though we are in it alone, that we've got to reach out to other congregations, we've got to reach out to other faiths, and we've got to know that we're on the same team. And we've got the lost that needs to be reached, and we've got poor that needs to be fed. So he impressed me.
Thanks, Jimmy. Anyone else? We got about 5 minutes. Yes, Jake.
I won't make you walk too far. I just want to go on recording saying that we really cared a lot for him and his wife. My question is for any of the elders that want to answer, but if this is someone that we do choose, how will you be mentoring them like Janice was talking about? You know, what are you all's plans to help any minister grow?
Al, you want to take that, or Lance?
Well, that's a good question. We talked to him about our future. That was one of the major reasons. You know, when we asked him what's the difference between a preacher and a minister, that was the purpose of that question. Because we asked that question again when he was in with us. And he reminded us that a preacher was an orator of God's word, but a minister was a preacher and somebody that took care of everybody in his church family and everybody in the community. He would get out and work in the community. That's what we want him to do. So we were very clear what we were looking for. Not only a preacher, but we wanted a minister. The best example of that is our Lord. I know we've had conversations about, well, we're hiring a preacher, a pulpit minister. Well, we want more than that. We want somebody that'll go out in the community, be the face of Highland Hills, be respected, honor this church, honor the Lord in everything they do and say. So we're going to mentor him down that road. And I think he's already there. I mean, that's what he wants to do. So I think that's one of the appeals that that I had for him, because that's what he wants to do. But anything he needs, you know, we're going to help him get there, and we're going to ask you to help us help him get there. So, like you say, he's very mature for a 30-year-old man, but what he needs, we're going to help him do. But that's the main thing. He's the preaching will come, whether we use slides. I mean, the person that helped, if the other elders, the previous elders were here, they would tell you, because when I came on board, they told me, the person that helped Shane the most was Ward. You know, Ward got him using the PowerPoint slides, and it made it easier to follow and made it a lot smoother. So hopefully we can do some of the same things as time goes on. I mean, we're school teachers, so we've taught a few classes. We know how to do that. But I mean, he's very mature already, so we'll just see how that goes. But we'll help him in whatever he needs, or we'll get him help. If we don't have the help here, we'll find it.
Those of you that have been teachers know there are principals that want to micromanage everything, but the ones you really love got out of your way, let you do your thing, and would support you and get you things that you need. And that's what I love about Charles Lawson at East Middle. I talk to him every Thursday, and he is just a genuine person. And he told me, he said, I just get out of their way, let them teach, and if they need anything, or if they need any help, or if they need anything that I can help them with, I'm there. But I'm not going to micromanage them.
So two things from, again, as we had the opportunity to have a couple of encounters with Matthew. When we first did our interview, as Al was describing, you know, we talked a little bit with him about what we were, you know, about asking him what he thought the role was, and had some discussion with him based on that. And in those discussions, you know, highlighted that we really, you know, that we understood the growing need for personal ministry in our congregation, and what we needed was not somebody who would go and do all of that themselves and have that all that weight on their shoulder, but also be someone who could really enable the rest of the congregation to do that. By Sunday afternoon, when we had our opportunity in here and one of you asked him something about that, his answer was, you know, dead on in line with that. So he's listening and he's hearing. The other thing is he spoke to us about vision and about the need for vision to be refreshed and renewed. He asked us about what our vision is for the congregation and talked to us about some of the things that, he has done in the past and some thoughts that he has on how a church needs to reinvigorate its own vision as it's going forward. And again, you know, it's very much spoke to the things that we've been talking about that are going to need to happen as we move into the next season. You know, a lot of people have asked about where are we going, what are we doing, and as shepherds, we've been preparing for a lot of this stuff, but some of this we felt like we needed to wait and see who God brought us here and let them be a part of some of that. We've spent some time trying to understand who we are independent of that, but the things that he said and that he indicated that he believed would be necessary for any congregation that he was coming into really resonated, at least for me, with those things that we've talked about we're going to need to do.
Anything else, Phyllis?
I wasn't going to say anything, but I can't. From the steering screening committee, we did two telephone conversations with the two that we had remaining, Matt and Patrick. And they were two very different calls. They were both excellent, but they were very different. And it could be age, because Patrick was a little bit older. But Matthew was our first call, and we did laugh. He was comfortable. He was engaging. He had preached that morning in Greensboro. So he came in, and we had a 1 o'clock or sometime our call was. And we talked almost 2 hours to him on the phone. And none of us knew him, and we had a great time. Well, he was so comfortable. And then we had our next phone call, and it was great, too. Like I said, it was just totally different. But and it wasn't as long. So who knows? Who knows?
Anybody else?
Dan, I just wanted to amen what Lance said, because I was thinking about bringing that up, about he said that he was that kind of person to do things. Love does. And so, but he also said, I want to work with you. And you, as you do this, I want to do it with you. So it wasn't like he goes out and does it all. He's inspiring us to do that too. So.
Thank you, Marcia.
I had a fabulous career in my life, and it just, you know, it seemed like that when I was in one job and I had contributed all I could to that job, this other job just appeared almost miraculously. When I was working with IRS, as an executive, one of the jobs I had was to interview people for the XD program. That was for the executive program. And it's just a continuing thing that I did as a part of my job. And after you've interviewed as many people as I had, you know, you have a feeling about people. And you can tell the real thing from those that just want to get ahead for the sake of getting ahead. They forget that they've got to make a contribution to the organization. And in this case, it's God and something far more important. And I kind of expressed to some of y'all after the meeting that I just thought he was the real thing, and I was deeply impressed by everything that he talked about.
Authentic. I think authentic is a...
I guess the one thing that impressed me the most in the question and answer was that he said that he journaled his sermons because he wanted to go back and study it to be sure that he didn't preach anything that he did not live. And that is very impressive that he walks his talk.
The person that wrote the forward to his book said, "I am not a journalist. I have never kept a journal. But now, because of Matthew Miller, I'm keeping a journal." So, and that's what that book is all about. It's after you read a lesson, then you journal. 40 days. Any last thoughts, questions, comments?
I said, "You'll do well here, buddy. You will do well if it's 20 minutes." I did one other thing. I did talk to the director for the Baptist Collegiate Ministries at Motlow, and I took a few notes about that a while ago. I just want to let you know that everybody over there thought that Matthew was an outgoing, great man already. He was outstanding socially, religiously, and intellectually. He's not outgoing really personality-wise until he gets a good feeling about you. Some people see him as reserved, but actually he's very intellectual in his approach there. And also a couple more things. The reading he does, the questioning, he's got a hunger and a passion. And Lindsay's been his helpmate with him so much because they married. She brought he said to me that she brought her Church of Christ minister, and I was his Baptist minister when they got married. But they both move now towards the Church of Christ with no problem. And each, it's been a full, fulfilling family situation over there with, and I think those are some good words that came from them today.
Thank you, Tom. Any last thoughts?
So just a couple of things. I guess the first thing to make sure from our perspective, so everything we've heard tonight has been pretty positive, and that's great. That's good. We do need to know if there's anyone who has any hesitation. And that's what we really, in a lot of the stuff I've been learning this year, they're talking about groups, and one of the challenges is groupthink. If you're all thinking the same way and you're all talking the same way, that sometimes decisions go, just by momentum and not because it's the best decision. So we really, really do want to solicit. If you're not comfortable with all the positivity that's already been said, if you're not comfortable saying something negative, make sure it goes on one of the cards and we get that. If there's any hesitation, if anyone believes that it's not. But I just want to wrap up that we, in our time working with him and talking to him, we had him in an interview, we had him at dinner, we had the Q&A, we had his time here. He is very eager to work. He's eager to have the leadership of an eldership to help him, to guide him and direct him. And he's eager to be in a community where he feels like he can really make a difference. And you know, he expressed to us in every way that that our community was just that kind of a place. So. I guess since I got the mic, I get to say the prayer. Is there anything else, any other last saved rounds? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for caring for this family. We thank you for preserving us through difficult times. We thank you for strengthening us when we have faced trials. We thank you for bringing us people who are willing to serve. Father, we thank you so much for the work that has been done to lead us to this point, and we thank you for the faithful men who have stood up to be evaluated, to be considered, to work with this congregation, to do your work in this community. Father, as we move towards a final decision, we just pray that you would inspire each one of us. Help us to know what it is that you would have us to do. Help us know what it is you would have us to say. Give us the strength and the perseverance to serve you in this decision. And Father, then as we move beyond this decision, we just pray that you would give us all of the support and the energy that we need to be about the work that you've given us to do. Father, we have so much potential, and we just pray that whatever the right is that you lead us to, that you would follow that up with the ability to do the most that we possibly can for your kingdom, where we have been placed here today. Father, we thank you for all of the members of this congregation, for their earnest prayers, for their participation, for their thoughtful consideration, and for their patience as we have moved through this process. Father, we just pray that you would bless all of those that are here. Father, again, we pray that you would be with our brother Ward. I know his heart desperately would love to be here with us for this portion, and certainly his spirit, his thoughts, his work up to this point are so much a part of what we are doing now. And Father, we just pray that all of those men who have served this congregation in the past and continue to serve today, that their efforts and their service could be honored with the decision that we make moving forward, with all the decisions we make. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.